We begin each Advent season with the blessing and the lighting of the Advent wreath, and the wreath is probably the most significant symbol of the Advent season. And each of the four candles of the Advent wreath have a theme that they symbolize. And the first candle that we light symbolizes hope. You know, we're often tempted to put our hope in things in the world around us. But if we do that, that basically guarantees that we're going to be disappointed. You know, some people get frustrated with politics because they hope for a perfectly just society where everything is functioning properly. And there's always going to be conflict and a level of corruption and false promises. You know, we're never going to have a utopia in this world. And so if that's what we're hoping for, we're going to be disappointed. You know, some people hope in exercise and living a healthy lifestyle. You know, that if they take care of themselves and if they're in peak physical condition, then they'll live a happy life. But the reality is all of us get older and our bodies break down. We can get injured. And no matter how good of shape we're in at one point in time, it's not going to last forever. So if that's what we're putting our hope in, we're going to be disappointed. You know, sometimes people put their hope in for their ultimate fulfillment in relationships with their friends or with their family or with a spouse. And those relationships are a good thing in and of themselves. But we're not perfect. And we can't depend upon somebody else to fulfill the deepest needs of our souls. You know, that's not fair to another person, and that's not going to lead to a healthy relationship that's going to flourish. You know, some people put their hope in pleasure, and that's what they live for. You know, whether it's alcohol or indulging in lust or whatever it might be. And what they find is that over time, they become enslaved by those things. And that they bring them less and less pleasure as time goes on. So if we put our hope in anything that this world offers, sooner or later, and probably sooner rather than later, we're going to be disappointed. And so if we want to seek a hope that does not disappoint, we have to look elsewhere. You know, we were created for immortality, and we were created for the infinite. And so we have to look beyond the material world for what we put our hope in, because nothing in this material world can ultimately satisfy us. You know, the Catechism says that hope is the virtue by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness, placing our trust in Christ's promises and relying not on our own strength. And so true hope is founded in Jesus Christ. You know, he is the king who is perfectly just and trustworthy. You know, when we desire a perfect society, it's ultimately Jesus Christ that we're desiring. You know, the relationship that ultimately fulfills the deepest longings of our soul, the relationship that we're created for, is to be brought into the life of the Trinity, to be incorporated into Jesus Christ for the praise and adoration of his heavenly Father. So it's in Christ that we're going to find lasting happiness and the immortality that we were created for. And so the fulfillment of every desire within us that is good and true and honorable, whether we realize it or not, is ultimately found in Jesus Christ. And so as we reflect upon the virtue of hope, the first question for us to ask is, do we recognize that? Do we see the emptiness of the things in the world around us? Do we realize that our material possessions are going to turn to dust? Do we realize that our physical health is going to break down and that these are not things to put our ultimate hope in and that our hope has to be in Jesus Christ? And then the second question is, if we realize that, how do we conform our lives that way? You know, how do we live in a way that builds true hope that does not disappoint? Well, the first way for us to do that is to immerse ourselves deeply into a life of prayer. And to immerse ourselves so deeply that it actually changes what we hope for and what our hearts desire. So just being at a superficial level in prayer, I mean, that's better than nothing, But if we just recite memorized prayers kind of on a superficial level, that's not going to inwardly transform us on a deep level. And so in our prayer, we have to seek a depth that actually transforms us. And so when we think about the things that we hope for, reflecting upon the emptiness of the things of this world and how Jesus Christ is the one who satisfies what our hearts long for. When we get to that level of prayer, that's what begins to change us. And so that's the depth that we need to seek. And ultimately, if we do that, we should come to a point that we don't fear death. You know, we should actually be anxious in God's time to be delivered from this world. Because this is a world that so often rejects God. You know, this is a world that persecutes Christians. You know, this is a world that oppresses the innocent. We shouldn't be comfortable in this world. We should be longing for our true homeland, which is somewhere else. Now, we still have work to do here, and we all have a vocation that God has given to us. And so we need to fulfill that well. You know, but ultimately, our longing should be for somewhere else. And so by immersing ourselves deeply into a life of prayer, and by immersing ourselves deeply in the Mass, you know, where we focus on the Lamb of God who takes away our sins and who is just and perfect and holy, it trains us to long for heaven and to place our true hope in Jesus Christ. The second way for us to build a life of hope is to go frequently to the sacrament of confession. It says in the gospel, you know, will we have the strength to stand before Jesus Christ when he comes in glory? And to have that strength, well, first, our souls have to be purified. And so when we go to confession, what we're doing is we're coming before Christ, we're standing before him, and we're seeking forgiveness for our sins. And if we train ourselves to do that, and if we do that frequently, and we're standing before Christ in the sacrament of confession, and we confess our sins, and we receive forgiveness, that's going to train us and remind us each time we go to confession that one day we will stand before Christ face to face. And if we're going to confession frequently, then we're going to be prepared to stand before him with our sins forgiven with inner integrity when he comes in glory. And so, you know, each time we come to confession, it's a reminder and it's a preparation as we stand before Christ veiled in the sacrament for when we'll stand before him face to face. And so as we begin this season of Advent, you know, my challenge for each one of us is, especially during this first week, is to focus on the virtue of hope and to ask ourselves, do we see the emptiness and the disappointment that we will experience if we put our hope in anything of this world, and to seek Christ as our true hope? And do we conform our lives that way? Are we seeking a depth of life in the prayer and in the sacraments that enkindles in us a hope that envelops our entire soul and causes us to long fervently to be with Jesus Christ? Because that is the one hope that will never disappoint.